Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Happy Monday, Chiefs fans. Here we go again. Chiefs headed back to the Super Bowl, and we're here to talk about it for the next 2 weeks on Sports Daily. What a championship Sunday delivered, certainly, in that game. Another classic between the Chiefs and the Bills. It's Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester here. We'll get to all of it. We'll get to that NFC championship game today as well. We'll talk about the college basketball from the weekend. We'll give away some HTO. We'll take your comments on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Thanks for listening to us on KFH. You can always give us a call at 869-1240. You can always leave us your voice messages on the Odyssey app. Tommy, Chiefs-Eagles, we could all see it coming, right? Chiefs-Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's...
The rematch is on.
I know, that NFL script is in full force, I feel like, to get the Chiefs and Eagles rematch in the Super Bowl. It was a great championship Sunday. So much to get into today. Looking forward to jumping right in.
Yeah, we'll start there. We've got Wyatt Thompson coming in here in about 10 or 15 minutes in his spot to talk about K-State's big win over the weekend. They were the only college basketball to get a big win over the weekend, so we'll dig into all of that as well. We'll take a bird's eye look here at championship weekend as we start things off in the NFL in this opening segment of the hour here, Tommy. Look, we expected an epic game in that AFC championship. We got an epic game in that AFC championship. Not sure who's had a worse, last couple of weeks than, Mark Andrews, but now Dalton Kincaid's going to have something to say about that as they had to play. Tommy, it was right there for them. It was right there. And whether you want to call it destiny, whether you want to call it the script or it's rigged or whatever it is, whichever lane you want to find yourself in, the Chiefs are headed back to the Super Bowl, and Buffalo had their chance. They did. Josh Allen made the play. Don't you feel bad a little bit for Josh? Josh Allen made the play. Like, it's all of this will get so tethered to him and so tethered to Sean McDermott, like, in the grand scheme of things. And you're just like, man, that wasn't Josh Allen's fault. Like, he made the play. Oh, man, that's heartbreaking for them. But for the Chiefs, it takes some of that. And they've had a lot of it this year. Like, I've never seen anything like it. You know, just the wild and wacky things that have happened for them, fortunately, to allow this unbelievable season to happen. And they get one in this game, 3 touchdowns for Mahomes. He was fantastic. A lot of the things we thought would happen happened, and we got an all-time classic again between these two teams.
Well, and, it took Kansas City scoring the most points they have had this entire season. They got over that 30 mark, scoring 32. They had to have every single one of those to be able to beat the Bills. And there's going to be, and there already is, a big-time narrative about the Bills and Josh Allen and not being able to get it done in the playoffs against Kansas City. But I'll tell you, like, this is our generation's version of Brady Manning. And it has been, it will continue to be. I mean, I don't think the Bills are going anywhere. I'm done doubting the Bills. I'm done doubting whether or not they've got a team to be able to at least make a deep playoff run. I thought this year was going to be a rebuilding year for them, at least offensively. And that wasn't the case whatsoever. Because, like you mentioned, they were great. James Cook was phenomenal. His touchdown run was outstanding, and you know, just sheer determination and effort to get into the end zone. You know, so all in all, like, they've got everything that they need. Unfortunately, they just run up against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs every time.
Yeah, and look, that happens. We know that happened. We just saw it happen with Brady. How many Super Bowls did Brady prevent others from winning? Right? Like, it's not even like we haven't seen this before. We literally have. We just saw it. Like, there wasn't a gap in time where we didn't have it. Now, Brady never got three in a row, and that's obviously what's on the line that we'll talk lots and lots and lots about. But you talk about this rivalry. It's not like the Bills never beat the Chiefs. The Bills beat the Chiefs. Josh Allen beats
the Chiefs.
They just
don't beat him in the playoffs. They just don't.
More often than he loses to the
Chiefs. Yeah, they
just
don't win in the playoffs, and that's been the big stumbling block for Buffalo.
It's crazy. And look, they did everything last night but make that catch. You had Wichita's own Jordan Phillips with one of the great defensive plays from an interior lineman you will ever see, lifting up the guard and bench pressing him backwards to make that play to halt the momentum and give Buffalo their chance. They get it. Steve Spagnuolo dials up the perfect call. Yet Josh Allen still makes the throw, and they can't come up with the catch. That's how close it is.
Yeah, I mean,
like, it was so back and forth all game long. Both teams did a great job of adjusting within the game. We saw Buffalo really give the Chiefs a hard time there, I thought, in the second half. But, you know, you've got to be perfect. We know this. You've got to be perfect to beat them in these spots, and they just weren't perfect on a play that they had to have. They didn't make it. And who knows what happens if they do make it. They still have a ways to go, and they would have just been getting into field goal range, but it was right there for them. It was right there for them. And then, you know, the Chiefs put it on ice with a couple of really nice plays and brilliant play call designs and those kinds of things. And it's nice to see Isaiah Pacheco have a big play because he's, you know, Kareem Hunt's kind of been the guy here, but it took everybody and it took the full effort. And yeah, it's just, what a game.
Yeah.
What a dang game again.
It was a great game. And, you know, yeah, there's going to be so much focus on that final offensive play for Buffalo. There was a lot more than just that final play. Right. And, you know, the conversation is going to be Dalton Kincaid. But I mean, you know, that's a different situation than the Mark Andrews drop. I mean, that Mark Andrews had a blatant drop and put, and also in another play, put the ball on the turf where Dalton Kincaid, I mean, that was a, you know, quasi Hail Mary from Josh Allen under extreme duress and pressure with four defenders around Dalton Kincaid, you know, on a fourth down like that. It's apples and oranges compared to what happened with Mark Andrews. But what's going to get lost in all of it is that, once again, and you mentioned it, Steve Spagnuolo dialed up the perfect blitz at that moment. And everybody in the building knew that he was going to blitz.
They just didn't
know where it was coming from and how it was going to work. And it was just a brilliant play call in that moment, you know, that ultimately sealed the deal for Kansas City. But so many other things in that game, like, and I know we're going to get into all of it. The Chiefs were up 21-10 at one point with a chance at least to put their foot on the neck of Buffalo. They weren't able to do it. Buffalo scores before halftime. And then they score again right after that. Like, there were all of these different momentum swings in the game, where I'm sitting there thinking, like, man, Kansas City had their chance. Like, they had their chance to, you know, actually maybe put Buffalo away. And here comes Josh Allen and the Bills, you know, storming right back and taking the lead. So, yeah, once again, another all-time classic. You know that's the way it's always going to be when these two teams match up, especially in the playoffs. And it for sure delivered.
What a game. We're going to dig into it. Do want to real quick tell you before we go to a break and get to Wyatt Thompson next, you can listen to KFH Radio for your chance at the ultimate trip to Vegas in March. Winning's easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, listen to KFH Radio. Listen each day for a minimum of an hour for your daily entry. It includes travel and accommodations for four to Las Vegas, plus $20,000 in spending cash. You can get all the info. It's a national contest. You can get it right there on the Odyssey app or at kfhradio.com. So really cool opportunity there for you. When we return, we'll take a brief pause from football. We'll talk a little college hoops. Wyatt Thompson, huge win for the Cats this weekend. That's next on Sports Daily.
Do Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
That's right. It is time for another Insider here, and we go to the voice of the K-State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. By the way, shout out to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here on KFH each and every morning. Wyatt, you look up all of a sudden on Saturday, and K-State's out to this huge lead against West Virginia. Pretty much from that point on, it just kind of became, all right, let's maintain this lead. And that's exactly what they did. You know, they got outplayed in the second half, but it's okay. Like they came in, they got that going, and then they did what they needed to the rest of the way for their biggest win of the year.
Well, it really was. And so needed to stop a 6-game losing streak and one of frustration, certainly, because they had come close a couple of 2 or 3 times in those 6 games. They really did put it all together early. I thought they did a good job on Javon Small. He still ended up with 22, which tells you how good he is. I think he was 7 of 16 from the floor. But I think they did so many quality things over a much longer stretch in this game than they had in any probably in quite some time, if not for the entire year. Great balance in scoring, as an example, 5 guys in double figures. You got some bench production too. You know, I did an interview after the game and was asked about, you know, the key going forward. And I said David Gasson, and then I walked out of the arena thinking, you know, maybe I should have said Doug McDaniel, because the constant is in the 2 conference wins. Doug's had 17 points in 1 game against Cincinnati and 15 in this one, and his turnover rate is down. His focus is better. Lots of things on the table we can talk about there, but I thought he was a key part of the ballgame for sure.
You know, Wyatt, of course, the game, you know, starts out with the Wildcats jumping out to a 19-2 lead. And you could, even just watching it on TV, you could tell just the energy, you know, inside Bramlage was there for sure. And just the fact that they were able to not only hit their shots, but on the defensive end of the floor, hold West Virginia down, at least to start that game. And, you know, that I know that's the kind of start that Jerome Tang has been looking for a long time. What do you attribute that fast start to?
Well, I think a couple of things. It's a good observation. One, because I think the defense was stellar, and I think it led also to some really good quality offense. It's a funny game that way, right? Because once you kind of get it going on both ends, you get into this comfort level, and when you're making shots, it makes it look really good. I think the preparation was good. I think this is a team that, even though they had lost, as I said, you know, 6 in a row and had a couple of 2 or 3 close games there, I think the guys felt like they were getting closer. They haven't given up. It's been frustrating. I'm not going to deny that and all of that. But once the validation comes early in the game and it's like, wow, here we go, the fans are excited. Now you're really digging in and playing good defense. They also did a good job on the glass. Points in the paint were relatively even, but certainly an advantage there to K-State. I just feel like this is a team that we know has warts, but when they're at their best, everybody is contributing. We talked about Doug McDaniel briefly. Max Jones has been really pretty consistent lately, but look at some of the other guys. I thought CJ Jones may have played arguably his best game of the year. I'm not even real sure if it's all that close, to be honest with you. Coleman didn't necessarily shoot the ball well, but his role has changed some too, and I think he's embraced that. So there is progress, but this is hard. I mean, we've got Oklahoma State in here on Wednesday and then go to Ames. So let's see if they can get those Cowboys on Wednesday and hopefully build a little bit moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because you don't know if, like, is that game a product of an incredible start, and how much can you replicate that, I think.
Right.
Is that repeatable to play that way? But I will say, like, it's still out there. We were talking about that. Tom and I were at the same place watching the game. And it's like, you know, like, what's crazy about the Big 12 is every game you play, almost every game you play, is like a quad one kind of a game. Like, there are so many opportunities to win big time games. If you look at the rest of K-State's schedule, I think it's 12 games. There are only three where they're going to be relatively big underdogs. They'll be at Ames. They'll get Kansas again, maybe Arizona, but that's at home. And then another home one against Iowa State. So 3-4, whatever you want to look at it. Like, otherwise, they're going to be, at least before the game starts, the thought will be that they can compete in this game. So when you talk about like replicating that start, like how much do you think they can move forward with the way that they played Saturday? Because there's still enough games out there for them to win and do something this year.
Sure, I agree with all of that. And I think it's a good point, to be honest with you, because how much can they replicate? Let's start there. I don't know that you can replicate that type of start in terms of making baskets, because they were stellar there in the first part of the game. I mean, it's 19-2 with 12-17 to go in the first half. I don't know that you can shoot it like that all the time. But in terms of the effort and some of those types of things, and just getting down and grinding, as I like to say, where you're playing good defense, you're rebounding offensively, you're moving, cutting, screening. They've tweaked the offense some, and I think that's helped them also. But again, I think the rebounding has been better. The turnovers have been better. Most everything across the board has been a little bit better of late. I mean, they didn't play well in the last 12 minutes of the game in Waco, as you guys know. But if you look at from the start of the game to that point, they were pretty good. The zone killed them, and I think we'll probably see more zone going forward. I thought that took Doug McDaniel out of the game in Waco, and he's, again, I'm going to repeat this, I think he is a key factor. I don't think David isn't. I don't mean it that way. David's been our most consistent guy. Everybody that I talk to that covers the league loves his energy and what he's doing. But, hey, in this league, you better have good point guard play. And K-State's had better point guard play lately. 100% true.
In the game on Saturday, Wyatt, 5 Wildcats finished in double figures. And I felt like, as far as distributing the basketball, that really, I think, was a key factor in the fact that they not only were able to jump out to the lead, but win comfortably, because you had 26 made field goals on 16 assists. And, you know, we've seen Doug McDaniel be a facilitator offensively, but he was both that and a scorer on Saturday. You mentioned that, you know, he's going to be a key factor moving forward this season for the Wildcats, but I think it was a nice change of pace to see such a balanced offensive attack from the Wildcats.
Absolutely. And again, I'll be repetitive here, but that's when they're at their best. Again, they have flaws. There are things that happen from time to time that hurt them. But I do think they're starting to, again, winning that game is going to validate some of the things that the coaches have been preaching and teaching. And the guys are, I mean, they know. It's been a tough stretch. What I like is when we had David Gasson out at the broadcast site there in the post game following Coach Tang, one of the first things he said was, this is great and we're going to celebrate tonight, but it's back to work. Doesn't do us any good if we don't make it happen again on Wednesday night. I'm paraphrasing there, of course, but that's exactly right. I guess what I would say is you need to have some validation at some point that, hey, we're making progress. A win is a big part of that, and I hope that it helps them moving forward. It's not going to be easy. I don't think this is a team that against this schedule is capable of ripping off 7 or 8 in a row. That's I don't think that's what the Big 12 is, unless you're Houston and maybe Iowa State. So work to do, but it was a good step, no question about it.
Good step. See if it's repeatable. The next one is the most important one, obviously. And the next one is Oklahoma State, a chance for a little redemption there at home. The Cowboys, you know, at the time we were all maybe the most disappointed in that game. And then of course you had a really bad one the next game, but now a chance to, you know, to sort of get back to where we thought they should be. And you can win a game against Oklahoma State in the standings, right? That's a team. Game by game, Wyatt, a team with the same record as you in the Big 12 standings, jump them. Go beat them, jump them, get your revenge. Like, this one's easy to hype for if you're Jerome Tang.
Absolutely true. And I do think there can be some motivation from the game in Stillwater, because they had every opportunity to win that game and just didn't do enough quality things. what's going to have to be different with the game in Stillwater as opposed to here, they're going to have to do a better job of guarding Abu Usman, their center. He ripped K-State in the game in Stillwater. I think they did a pretty good job against most everybody else, but he really hurt them. And he, that's one area, too, where I think K-State has got to be better. They have been hurt, you know, by big men. We saw it with Hunter Dickinson and Lawrence as an example, and not that he doesn't do that to everybody, but you get, there's another area where improvement is needed, and hopefully they can make a step there.
I wonder, Wyatt, you know, talking about this upcoming game against Oklahoma State and then thinking about the way that the Wildcats played on Saturday, while it was a very balanced offensive performance from, you know, the starters and, you know, basically several different players from Kansas State, We're not seeing, and probably it's a good thing, right, to not seeing a guy like Coleman Hawkins put up 25, or, you know, it's much, much, much more balanced. And I wonder, I thought that he was most valuable when he was actually the one passing as opposed to the one scoring, which is kind of a different mentality than I think what a lot of people thought he would be this season for the Wildcats. And then with Doug McDaniel, it was the opposite as well. Do you anticipate we'll continue to see that moving forward? Is that going to be kind of the game plan where, rather than having a guy like Hawkins be your focal point offensively, Jerome Tang wants to kind of spread that out?
I love the subject, Tommy, and I think it's a really great point. I wanted to mention earlier in this little setting how well I thought in some areas that Coleman Hawkins played. In the game, pregame, before the game on Saturday, I introduced myself to Darren DeVries. I had never met him, and we talked for just a couple of 3 or 4 minutes. And I asked him about Coleman, and he very much praised his ability as a passer. Said he thought it was his best attribute, and said he even called him an elite passer for his size in this league. And I think when you look at what K-State has done in terms of progress here lately, that's a big part of it. Doug taking better care of the ball. We've seen even David Castillo in a little bit longer stretches be solid. He hasn't scored consistently, but some of the other things has been better. And so, again, it goes back to what we're talking about. Do what you do. And Coleman as a passer, they need him to score too. Don't get me wrong. If he could be a, you know, 12-7-6 guy, and I know that's pretty good, man, you take it. And I think K-State will benefit moving forward if he's closer to that most nights.
And that's what he's kind of been his whole career. So we'll watch it. Yeah. All right, Wyatt, you guys will have the call against Oklahoma State here Wednesday night, right here on the home of Wildcat Athletics. We're looking forward to it. Enjoy another home game. All this time you get to spend there in Manhattan. It must be nice.
It is nice, especially the way this thing goes, where you got two at home and two on the road. That week feels really good. The weeks where you're, you know, gone, and not quite so much, but hey, welcome to the 12, right? That's what the coaches say all the time. Welcome to the 12.
Yeah, that's it now, that big league. All right, Wyatt, we appreciate it. Thanks for hopping on with us.
You got it, fellas. Great talking to you.
There goes Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats. Always a pleasure. Always looking forward to it. Looking forward to that game against Oklahoma State. Let's see if they can get something going. Look, they got the talent. We know it. Maybe they're figuring some stuff out. They've played some good basketball. Win, lose, or draw here over the last couple of weeks. That's what we've wanted to see. Let's, real quick, Tommy, because we'll be talking so much football today, go through the rest of our college basketball here. And we may dig into this more, but we certainly will later in the week. The big one, KU, double overtime. Boy, they had their chances against Houston. Couldn't get it done. That's a bummer, 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 bummer loss for the Jayhawks, because they, not so much because they lost to Houston, which sucks. But that they had the game. And that stings a lot. Now you're sitting at a point in the standings where you're looking up at them. What are they, fourth, fifth in the Big 12 right now?
Yeah.
Like that's tough.
Yeah. They had that game. I mean, you know, leading by 6 with the ball, with 30 seconds to go in overtime. Like, they had that game, and just some lapses in focus, I think, and execution. I mean, something as simple as inbounding the basketball to basically ice the game away, and just unable to execute. That's unlike teams that we've seen Bill Self coach, and I know that he lamented that in the post game that, you know, he felt like, you know, those are kind of no-brainer plays where you just got to get the ball in, and then, you know, Houston's got a foul, and then you can ice the game, and the Jayhawks just weren't able to do that. You know, they had led at various points throughout regulation, looked really good in stretches, and I thought, man, this is going to be an opportunity, I think, for Kansas, at least at home, to be able to knock down a really, really good Houston team, and Houston is perennially good, and unfortunately, they just weren't able to execute in the biggest moments, and you know, that's what it was for Houston. They were able to go into Allen and steal one.
The KU just, like, at the base here. Houston's really good.
Yeah,
like really, really, really good. I think KU fans, I know you don't want to hear this, take solace in the fact that if you look back, you feel like you should have beat them, because I do think that's important, as KU's going to have to grind it out the rest of the way. Just keep that in mind, right? They'll get, you know, UCF, Baylor, two games they should probably win. They get a chance for revenge against Iowa State. Then K-State, you got to go on the road. And I know what we were just talking about, the Wildcats, feel good about your chances there. They got Colorado and Utah and BYU. They got Colorado twice and Oklahoma State. Like, they have a really tough stretch to end it with Tech, Houston, Arizona. But if you look at the totality, Tommy, of the rest of their schedule, it looks pretty good, right? Like, it looks, they must not lose any of these games. They shouldn't be in, you know, that they shouldn't, essentially. Like, can they afford, you know, another loss to Houston and Iowa State? Maybe. Everything else, they got to kind of go get it. Like, you can't lose another one at home. And you know, if you've got two losses the rest of the way in the Big 12, they're going to be okay. But that one stings, because that could have been one that you look back on when the dust is settling and things are trying to be sorted out, is like this really critical win for KU, because they had it.
I mean, even when the committee is figuring out seeding and all of that, I mean, you know, that's going to be one that you can definitely look at and be like, okay, like, that could be the difference between, I'm just throwing it out there, a 2 seed and a 3 seed, right?
Could be the difference in playing in Wichita, Tommy.
Here we go. Here we go.
Because it's all, like, it's my driving. We got to have it. It's too important to the city. Come on, KU. It's too important to the city. Got to make sure you get here. I don't care what seed it is. Just got to get here real quick. Shockers. Go to Tulsa and lose. I don't even know what to say, Tommy. You know, if I told you the Shockers lost, and what would you say? You predict the other team shot the three well or not? Because Tulsa shot 62% from three in the game. I don't know what to say.
Is there much more to say? I mean, it goes back to, like, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to hear it, doesn't make a sound. You know, Shockers play, like, you and I texted a little bit about it. But I don't think either one of us were walked in, right? Like, it was Commanders Eagles in that moment. And that's sad. That's sad. Tulsa is not a good team. And this is something that, you know, the Shockers, they beat teams that they're more, or they lose to teams that they're more talented than. And this was another example of that on the road.
Tulsa going in the worst, and still coming out the worst team in the American.
Yep.
They're 2 games ahead of the Shockers in the standings right now. 2 games. So that's a tough loss for Wichita State. We'll come back. We'll get back to football when we return. Don't go away. It's all Brockton Caster. More Sports Daily coming your way.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Hey, if you have a home construction need, Pep and Suter should be on your list of calls. Let Pep and bid your project. You'll quickly see why they're the choice for our kitchen remodel here. They did work in our basement, did a fantastic job. Still communicate with them, making sure everything's okay here, and we're now about 5-6 months past the project. Their work's top-notch, customer service even better, and they'll help you every step of the way. Call Pepin, 316-573-6822, or go to pepinsuter.com to check out all their great work. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Quick shout-out to Sam Stevens, Wichita Zone, second at the what was the name of
the Farmers Insurance Open?
The Farmers Insurance Open. Yep. It happened over the weekend. They finished on Saturday, but a big, big finish for Sam. He went 4 under in the final round to finish second in that tournament. Pretty exciting stuff. So shout out to him. It was good there. We've got Jalen Thompson coming in the second hour to talk a little baseball, talk a little Royals briefly, just kind of check in. Free agency still chugging along a little bit. What are the Royals doing? Do they have another move in them? We'll get into that. But we're, of course, talking a lot of football here. Austin says on the video stream, happy Victory Monday. People need to just sit back and enjoy this greatness we're watching. Truly something special. I got to tell you, Austin, enjoy it, Chiefs fans. Most of the rest of the football world is not enjoying it. I get a lot of texts every week. You know, I'm not from here, so like my outer circle is not Chiefs Kingdoms. I just get constantly berated with messages about how did they call that worthy catch a catch, and you know, all the memes about the refs, all the meme, all of it just floods in, and I'm like, golly, like it's so strange to be inside of that now and follow it from this side, because it's what we all used to do to the Patriots and Tom Brady, right? Like every year, be like, oh, Brady's getting all the calls. They blew on him, and they threw a flag and they did the tuck rule and the cheating and the spy gate, all this stuff. The league just wants him in there. Like, it's so funny being on the other side of it, but it's wild. I know you don't get a lot of that, because most people are Chiefs fans in your circle, but most people are not. They're haters in mine, and I get berated with that because I'm here and I cover it every day, and they're like, how could they do this? And I'm like, guys, like, I don't think the fix is in. Like, I'm sorry, I don't think it was in, you know, for the Cowboys in the 90s.
The whole thing is ludicrous. The whole argument, I never, even when Tom Brady and the Patriots were running wild over everybody in the NFL, including the Chiefs, right when Patrick Mahomes took over as the starter, there was not a single time that I thought, well, the fix is in. Like, the NFL really wants Brady right. And Belichick. I just thought, okay, these guys are annoyingly good. And, well, yeah, like, for me.
I think Roger Goodell likes Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. He did. There was not a good relationship with the Patriots. Like, I feel like they all hated each other.
Yeah.
At least it felt that way. And the other thing when I hear all that is, it's like, would you really, like, if that was really the case, like if there was this agenda to make sure Taylor Swift is at the Super Bowl, like imagine all the emotional investment we all give the NFL. Like, why would you even want to believe that? Wouldn't that be kind of like an ignorance is bliss thing? Even like, I don't understand. I was listening to the Infinity Sports Network here over the weekend, and one of the hosts was out of Kansas City. They brought up a good point on how this happens and why it's happening, why it happened with the Patriots. They're always in primetime. So, like, in the NFL, you can't watch every game. Like, that's not the way the league is set up. So because you watch more of the Chiefs, you're berated. This is a league of close calls like this. We see it in every single game, but you see it every time in the Chiefs because they're always playing in primetime. Like, you see them play more. So yeah, you see how often we get these calls. Glad to see, if nothing else, Adam Schefter reporting over the weekend that the league is going to go to replay assist more often on the quarterback calls. Like, why do we have to go through this song and dance? Why do we need to go through this silliness to get to that point?
Yeah, I don't have an issue with the fact that replay looks like it's going to be expanded, but the wording in his tweet was ridiculous. You know, like,
I didn't even see it. What did he say?
It was like, for everybody who thinks that Patrick Mahomes gets all the calls, relief is now coming your way. And it's like, it's not just Patrick Mahomes. Like, this is this happens everywhere with every quarterback in the league, you know? And it's just like, come on, man. Like, all you're doing is continuing to float this conspiracy theory that the refs, you know, are in the Chiefs pocket. And it's ludicrous. It's just absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, it's just, man, these games come down to the wire, and that is what it is. Like, if you think back to all the, like, imagine being a Chiefs hater. Imagine hating the Chiefs, right? And how thin through this entire run, right, these margins have been. It's been insane. This year's been an absolute microcosm of that, because it keeps happening, like, in every single game. But go back like to two Super Bowls in this run, razor thin, razor thin. This whole season has been razor thin. And it just like, and that is what's so wild about the NFL. And like, I've talked a million times about, you know, it's always Hall of Fame quarterbacks winning Super Bowls. And there's a reason. Like, it is so difficult for an entire season to continue to not make the big mistake, right? You don't make the big one, the big mistake. And the Chiefs, they make plenty of mistakes. They made plenty of them last night. They had that game in hand, and then they fumble a handoff and give Buffalo new life. Like, they make mistakes within every game, but never the big one. Never the didn't make that play when they had the chance in the biggest moment mistakes. And that's as much a part of this as anything. But that was a coaching display, both from the offensive and defensive side on the biggest moments of that game for Kansas City. Like, those are the things that navigate, and it's so hard to get it. So hard to get it. And the Chiefs have it right now. And to Austin's point, enjoy it while you have it, because we never thought it would happen again after Brady. And now we've gone 25 years with it always happening for a quarter century. This, you know, it's been basically a two-man show.
In the micro, with just the game last night, you mentioned some of these like big-time decisions that the Chiefs just got right in the moment. For me, those decisions and those plays were relying on the legs of Patrick Mahomes. That was the difference maker from this game compared to the last time these two teams matched up, where you had Patrick Mahomes rolling out with, you know, he could have thrown it if he wanted to, but designed for him to run for a first down. And, you know, rolling out to his right, he did it a couple different times on fourth down to be able to move the chains and extend a drive. Those were things that we haven't really seen that at least designed for him recently. We used to see it quite a bit, and then it kind of went away. He was able to do that and do it at a really high level last night. And I don't think the Bills defensively were particularly ready for that part of it. I thought those were brilliant play calls when they actually were called.
What's crazy about that is, to me, like, Patrick Mahomes, the most predictable bet in postseason football is Patrick Mahomes rushing, because that is when he cuts it loose.
From a scramble perspective, from, you know, everything breaks down and he has to take off. I'm talking about him rolling out to his right as soon as he gets the ball, and it's almost a designed, you know, deal for him to go and move the chains. And we haven't really seen that a whole lot recently. They dialed it up at perfect times in the game yesterday.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just, like, it's like, if you go back, I'm just pulling up. Okay, so here's his rushing yards. Let's go. Let's say the last, I don't know, when do we want to start this? We'll start it in the Super Bowl of 23. He ran for 44 yards. So then last year through the playoffs, he ran for 41, 19, 15, and 66 yards in the Super Bowl. Then another 43 yards yesterday. Like, it becomes such a big part of his game. And if you go all the way back to 2020, he does this. Like, I'll bet you that of his rushing totals in football, I mean, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in his career, 7 playoff games where he's ran for more than 40 yards in a game. Like, it's what he does. That's when he turns it loose. He probably ran a little bit more earlier, but it's like this thing in his game that's, and I agree with you. It's a big reason why he's so successful and why they're so hard to beat, because you think you're about to get them off the field and he picks up those first downs with his legs. What are you supposed to do? Right? You can't necessarily just spy him like you can some quarterbacks,
yeah,
because Kelsey's always sitting there. You can't sell out to stop that because they always have the threat to go over the top. Like, you kind of have to pick your poison, and he just, in the postseason, historically, he runs the ball. It's like the Chiefs playoff bet that you make. Just take Mahomes' rushing total.
The bottom line for me, I thought about this after the game last night. Patrick Mahomes is Michael Jordan. And, you know, there really isn't, I'm not sure that you can really argue the opposite of that. I mean, he is. From, like, the clutch moments, from, you
that's
know,
him,
the,
him and Brady, that's what they are.
You know, and I think that it's interesting because when Jordan was doing what Jordan did and would just make ridiculous plays and just, you know, single-handedly win titles for his team and, you know, things
steal
like that.
Steal souls.
1,000, like that's, and that's what Mahomes does. I even think that Mahomes does that at a level maybe even higher than Brady. Not that Brady didn't do it. Brady did. But I think that, you know, from just, it got to the point to where everybody knew Brady was going to do it. People still have, I think, kind of this belief that Mahomes can't get it done. Like, there's like going into it, like, he's not going to be able to do it this time. He doesn't have Tyreek Hill anymore, you know, or his entire wide receiver room is decimated and gone, or he's got a terrible offensive line. Like, he's not going to be able to do it. Everybody knew Brady would do it. Going into it, everybody knew Tom Brady somehow, some way is going to make it happen. And I think that there's still this, like, doubt that Mahomes can't get it done, and it may take him scrambling. It may take him rushing for 40, 50-plus yards for him to get it done, but he's going to get it done, and he's going to steal souls along the way. And the doubt, I think, is still there, and I wonder if at any point it will ever go away. Like, you watch the national media, and they're like, this is the year that Mahomes isn't going to get it done. This is the year that the Chiefs aren't going to be able to make it happen. And then they just do. They just find ways to do it. That wasn't the narrative, at least as far as I can remember. That wasn't the narrative with Brady and the Patriots. People were like, nationally, were like, yep, Patriots are going to win again. Yep, it's a dynasty. Yep, they're going to continue to dominate. For whatever reason, I think there's still this overall doubt that the Chiefs aren't going to do it. Look at everybody that picked the Bills yesterday going into the game. I guarantee you that after what Saquon Barkley did and the Eagles did against the Commanders, everybody's going to pick the Eagles in the Super Bowl, right?
The Chiefs will be favored. The Chiefs will be favored, and the Chiefs are favored against the Bills.
But I'm talking about, like, picking, like, all the talking heads are going to say, oh, it's going to be the Eagles. Oh, this is going to be the year that the Chiefs are going to be knocked off their perch. That wasn't the conversation with the Brady and Belichick dynasty.
I don't think I agree with you on that. I mean, the CBS crew, more of them picked the Chiefs than the Bills when I was watching. I think the Fox crew, more of them picked the Bills than the Bills. It was about 50-50. But CBS's guy, I mean, I know Burleson and Watt and Matt Ryan, I think, was the only one to pick. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. The thing where Brady and Mahomes do have the Jordan effect for sure. We've got what you got to remember with Brady is it's so I love the parallels between their careers. I think they're so similar. What's crazy about Brady's stretch, all the Super Bowls like consecutively came on the second run of his 14, 16, 17, 18, and 20. So that's what Mahomes has now. That's where Mahomes' chance to pass him will be. Because Brady had that like 10-year stretch where he didn't get there, right? If Mahomes avoids that, that's how he passes it. But Brady did what Mahomes is doing now kind of twice. So that's where they're both. I mean, it's a wild comparison. We continue that into the second segment. We got to talk NFC Championship as well.
This Sports is Daily, coming right back. 1240 KFH, Wichita. K248 CY, Wichita.